Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Priya, and welcome to Women in Full Bloom Live. You're tuned in to my weekly blog talk, Living Life in Love. And I'm really happy to be here with you today. I named this blog Living Life in Love because for me, as a woman devoted to well-being, love is the bottom line of life. So the Living Life in Love talks are all about how you can have more love in your life and more effective, empowering, fulfilling, and vitally alive loving relationships with everyone in your life using the power of compassionate communication. So relationships are everywhere. They're inside of you. That's the relationship that you have with yourself. Relationships are in your personal life, your work life, your family life, and even in the marketplace. And each relationship that you have is an important part of the quality of your life. Even though the purpose of each relationship that we have is different from the others, and the levels of closeness and openness might be different, the basic dynamics are the same. And there is one thing for sure that's the same in every relationship that you have. And that is you, that you are in it. And every interaction is a chance to express the love that's naturally inside of you and share it with the world. So from my perspective, there are two major potent pathways to living life in love. And those two pathways are connecting with your own wellspring of love inside of yourself and expressing this in the way that you are with yourself, with those around you, and in life in general. So connecting with love inside of yourself and expressing love in the world around you. Those are the two pathways. And one of the most powerful tools for walking these two paths is the practice of compassionate communication. And that's why I've chosen it for the topic of this blog series, Living Life in Love. Now, I've been practicing and sharing in this approach since the late 1990s, and I have benefited so profoundly in so many ways, too many for me to describe in this talk. But for sure, my life has changed so profoundly for the better that I am passionate about spreading the word about this approach so that you can benefit from it as well. So to catch any of you up who might be listening for the first time, I'm going to begin with a very brief description of who I am, how you can find out more about me, what compassionate communication is, where it comes from, things like that. So you have. So if you've been following me from the beginning, I thank you in advance for your patience, and I'll be brief. And as you listen to this, perhaps you'll pick up some things that you didn't hear last week. Okay, so what is compassionate communication? It's an approach to getting in touch with yourself and being able to express what is authentically alive inside of you in the conversations that you have every day in all of your relations without judgment, condemnation, blame, conflict, or contraction, but rather with compassion, curiosity, receptivity, with ease, with clarity, and with expansion so that you can relate to others in ways that promote more love and support, more connection, understanding, and co-creation, all of which are important components of happy, fulfilling, effective, and nurturing relationships. And I think it's safe to say that we all want those kind of relationships. Excuse me. So compassionate communication is based on the work of world-renowned psychologist Marshall Rosenberg, and he called his approach when he started, he called his approach to human relations nonviolent communication, the language of compassion. So this approach is known around the world by its acronym, which is NVC. And it's also referred to by the term that I'm using in these talks, compassionate communication. It's practiced worldwide actually by millions of people, who want to have more loving, caring, supportive, and peaceful relations with the people in their lives, and who want to create a world in which everyone is considered and cared for. So I have a business teaching communication skills based on compassionate communication and movement awareness, the nonverbal aspect of human communication. And I also work with women, most specifically, towards becoming more personally and spiritually empowered. And my passion, really, is to bring more love into this world. And teaching compassionate communication skills helps me to express this important passion of mine. So if you want to find out more about me, and you can visit me on my website, which is www.womeninfullbloom.com. And if you missed my previous talks, you can listen to them on the podcast page of my website, womeninfullbloom.com, or here in the Blog Talk Radio archives of my show, where you'll also find my other blog talk, Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else at 60, which is about women entering into the wisdom years of their life and how we as women can be more fully empowered in that process. Okay, so in today's talk, I'll be revealing to you just how you would know if you need to up-level your communication skills and how compassionate communication can do that and what the benefits might be. And I'll also be exploring the evolutionary aspects of compassionate communication and how it contributes to your growth and transformation. Okay, so how do you know if you need to and can benefit from up-leveling your communication skills with compassionate communication? Well, in my humble opinion, everyone can benefit. Simply because in our culture, as in most cultures around the world, we don't learn how to communicate with each other. It's all by trial and error. It's all by rote, by imitation, or by habit pattern. It's hit and miss at best. But to be more specific, if loving kindness, connection, and care are part of your value system or are important values to you, and you know that you're just not really living these values in your everyday life, you can truly benefit. Or if you're suffering with dissatisfaction, frustration, or some sort of angst in important relationships in your life, like in your love life or your business partnership, or with your children, or with important family members, you can really benefit. Or if you're feeling that the way you are, here's an important one, in relationship to others is disempowering to you or to them, you can really benefit from up-leveling your communication skills with compassionate communication. So I've compiled a list of some everyday scenarios that you might find yourself in. And these are from real life, from people I've spoken to and myself. Excuse me. If you see yourself in any of these scenarios, then you surely will benefit from learning these skills. So here we go. Do you get tongue-tied in the face of disagreements? You shrink away from saying what is really true for you and defer to the other person's needs or ideas because you're afraid of creating conflict, because you're afraid of judgment? Do you say yes when you really want to say no because you're afraid of conflict, of disagreement, and then you have to backpedal later on trying to get out of these agreements that you made or these appointments that you made, things that you said you would do? Do you find yourself snapping or judging in the face of someone who is doing something that is irritating to you? And then you make demands on them to stop their behavior, silently withdraw, taking away your support from them, taking away your love from them. Do you avoid your friends who are having problems, serious problems, because you just don't know what to say to them? And then you don't know how to reconnect after time has passed, so you just let the relationship dwindle. Do you often hear from your spouse? I can't read your mind, hon. You have to tell me what you need. Or do you often hear from your spouse, stop interrupting me. You never let me finish a sentence. Or perhaps you hear from your coworkers, you're so hard on yourself. Or you're so hard on me. Right? Give me a chance. Perhaps in the aftermath of an argument, you distance yourself from a loved one when you really want to just talk about what happened. And instead of doing that, you distance yourself because you're afraid. You don't know how. Do you get upset or offended easily by what others say? And do your emotions overwhelm you, getting you embroiled in dramas quickly? And is it hard for you to receive difficult feedback on the way you are, right? Or the way that you're behaving or things that you said? Or is it hard for you to give difficult feedback to others, even though what you might have to say might be important to the success of a job or a project or an event? Giving and receiving difficult feedback. And lastly, here's a fun one. Do you often walk away from conversations thinking, oh my God, why did I say that? Or, why don't I just say what I really want? So this list of scenarios of our life circumstances that leave us less happy with ourselves is actually endless. Did you see yourself in any of the ones that I've described? Or maybe you became aware of your own uniquely recurring communication problems. Either way, let's take a moment in a few minutes to think about your most compelling problem in your ability to communicate. And I'll help you to do this. Because sometimes it helps to look outside of yourself for cues as to how your communication skills are serving you or not. And that is because the external circumstances of your life are in part created by how you are in them. And sometimes we're unconscious about how we are being in the circumstances of our lives. And that means how you communicate with yourself and with the other people around you. So looking outward into your circumstances are in part a way of looking in a mirror so that you become more aware of yourself. Now, even though you might be pointing the finger at someone else, thinking it's all their fault, it's my boss's fault, it's my spouse's fault, it's my children's fault, it's the guy next door's fault, chances are you're playing a part in the dissatisfaction that you're experiencing in a relationship that you're having. It's our lack of skill in communicating that often leads to unresolved relationship issues, the experience that certain circumstances or people are challenging to us, complaining about the way things are out there. So seeing what we are doing to contribute to those things is the first step towards making the kind of positive changes that we want. Actually, so seeing what we're doing inside of ourselves is the first step towards making positive change out there. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to take some time to think about what your biggest recurring relationship issue is, what your biggest circumstance or person, or what your most challenging person is, what your most challenging circumstance or most challenging person is, or an ongoing complaint that you have about somebody. And I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, what are you doing? How are you being that might contribute to that? Now, you might be already touching in on that stuff. And as you do that, I want to briefly touch in on the experience of self-judgment, because Self-judgment lays in wait in the shadows of turning towards yourself. And it can prevent you from seeing yourself with love. Because self-judgment likes to let you know that you're not good enough and should be ashamed of yourself. And we all have that to different degrees. And so for that reason, most of us don't like to think of ourselves as contributing to difficulty in our lives because we don't want to look in and see that. Because self-judgment is laying in wait and we know that. It's really painful. Because when we're influenced by self-judgment, we think of ourselves as less than. And we don't like to think that we might need to or even want to improve our communication skills or improve anything else for that matter. Because the judge gets activated and then we feel pain. Inquiry without the inner critic, without being judgmental towards yourself, is an act of love. And it's very liberating. So let's try to look inside without judging ourselves for being less than. Let's make an attempt to look inside as an act of love towards ourselves. Just like cleaning up your bedroom is an act of love towards yourself. It's creating space. Or cleaning the dishes is an act of love towards yourself. Or brushing your teeth. Taking care of yourself, it's an act of love towards yourself. So self-inquire is a way of cleaning the inside of yourself. It's an act of love. All right, so think about an ongoing relationship issue that you have with someone, or a challenging person or circumstance in your life, or a complaint that you have that just doesn't seem to go away. Now, without blame or shaming yourself, just simply from a place of loving curiosity and wonder, ask, what might I be doing that adds to this problem? Know that you're loving yourself as you do this. What might I be doing that adds to this problem? Know that loving self-inquiry is an act of compassion towards yourself. And it leads to expanding possibilities for more love and connection in your life. So in past shows, I spoke about how we create suffering in our relationships through judgment, blame, projection, and demands. Specifically is so painful and comes up so easily, and that is why I will be talking a lot more about it in my future blogs, and more specifically next week. For now, here are some specific benefits of living a life that is about transforming judgment, blame, projection, and demands into love, which is what compassionate communication will help you to do. So the principles and tools of compassionate communication help you to live a life that is freer of judgment, projections, and defenses. And these principles and tools help you to get in touch with what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're sensing, and what you're needing. They give you the ability to speak authentically without creating dissonance or discord, but instead create more effective and harmonious connection with the people around you, at home, at work, and in all the circumstances of your life, with everybody that's there. And you also cultivate the capacity to listen in such a way that those who are speaking to you feel comfortable authentically expressing their truth And this leads to being able to really understand what others are trying to communicate to you and greater connection with them. And you also learn how to ask for what you want in ways that promote more openness and creativity, which leads to finding solutions to fulfilling your needs as well as those of the people around you. And this leads to more empowerment in the world for everybody. So how does compassionate communication do all these things? How does it help you to speak more authentically? How does it help you to listen with more understanding? How does it help you to ask for what you want in a way that creates openness to co-creation with other people? It does this because it's based on the understanding that care is a basic and natural part of our humanness. And it helps us to open up care, our natural care for each other again. Because most of us are taught to shut this down. We're taught the disempowering belief that to care for ourselves means that we have to sacrifice others, or to care for others means that we have to sacrifice ourselves. Right? And our language and our behavior reflects this. So compassionate communication kind of disarms this and helps you to connect with your natural state of care for other people. It shows you how to care for yourself and others in ways that empower everyone, right? Not just in your intentions, but in your conversations and your actions, which are really important, right? Because that's where we live, right? We don't only live inside of ourselves and our intentions, but we live inside of our conversations, inside of our relationships, and we live inside of our actions. That's called embodiment. Okay, so now I'm going to spend a moment on why the name compassionate communication, because that's really important. Compassion is care. It is the heart-centered awareness. Before, I feel that this is the natural state of being of us humans, because it is the natural ability to relate to another human's experience. Compassion cultivates love, cultivates care, cultivates kindness, authenticity, and understanding as internal values. And communicating with compassion brings these qualities alive in everyday life by connecting your head or your higher mind that holds these values to your heart, by bringing your thoughts and your words into the service of your heart. So when you get in touch with your natural state of compassion and learn how to express it through words, then you have access to life-serving connection to yourself and to others. I want to take a moment to talk about this term that I just used, life-serving connection, because it's a term that Marshall coined, and it's very useful as a general guidepost, as a general principle in making choices about how you are being in the world with other people. My definition of life-serving is that which promotes vitality and well-being of the whole. So life-serving in reference to yourself would be, for example, thoughts and attitudes that promote a general sense of well-being inside yourself. Life-serving in regards to relationship is communication that promotes a sense of well-being between the people involved and supports the success of the purpose of the relationship. And life-serving in regards to circumstances is when we create circumstances together that serve the needs of all the people involved in the circumstance. So here's how I personally use this in my life. It's very simple. I use it as a mantra, like a daily embodiment mantra, and I ask myself, or I like to remind myself before I speak, is what I'm about to say life-serving? If it's not, then I step back from what I'm going to say, take a breath, I connect with myself, I get spacious inside of myself, and I find out what I need to do inside myself to express what I want to express in a life-serving way. Or I think, is this action life-serving? And I do the same thing. Or I think, is the way that I am being right now life-serving? And I use connecting to my breath, my internal state of being, as a way to come back out and recalibrate. So this helps me to make the kind of choices that are most beneficial to well-being and vitality. All right, so what is compassionate communication made up of? It's made up of two things. There are two distinct yet intertwined parts that are equally crucial to learning and living this approach. One part is the principles that it is all based on, and the other is what I call the nuts and bolts or tools and practices of speaking and listening, of having conscious conversations, and conversations that are meaningful, that are effective, and support whatever the relationship or circumstance is about. In the past three shows, I've been laying the foundation of understanding about the underlying principles of compassionate communication, the principles that are intrinsic to the paradigm of shared power. Some of these principles are compassion, unity, and equanimity. Because without these principles, without stepping into these principles, at least from a cognitive perspective, the nuts and bolts don't really work. Other than to be a mind of manipulation, because these tools are designed to be a demonstration of these principles. So it's like a circle. The principles, we step into the principles, and then we use the tools to help us live the principles. That takes us back into the principles, and we go around and around. And when these principles are truly motivating our connections and our communications, then we are living in the paradigm shift from a power over, me versus you paradigm, to the shared power, to a shared power paradigm. Tongue twister. Power paradigm. And that is the paradigm of us together. Us together. Both and. And this is the paradigm of compassionate communication. And it's an important paradigm to understand. Very important paradigm to understand. So if you haven't listened to my previous two talks, my previous three talks, you might want to listen to them because they're full of information about that paradigm shift. So the other part of compassionate communication is what I call the nuts and bolts part. And that's actually practices that you can do that will help you to embody the principles in the way that you speak with people, in the way that you listen to others, which is the conversations that you have, as well as how you are with yourself. And your presence, which is something that I spoke extensively about last week. So the nuts and bolts are like handles that you can use to help you step out of your old habit patterns of communicating that are not serving you or the people around you. They are handles that can help you to shift your way of thinking, your way of feeling, your way of being and conversing, and be more effective in your relating. Because relating is all about what you're thinking, what you're feeling, how you're being, what you're needing, what you're wanting, what you're desiring, and how you work with other people to achieve those things. I often refer to compassionate communication as the yoga of compassion in action. And that's because, just like yoga, made up of big principles that help us to expand our capacity as humans, And it's also made up of tools like yoga postures, which are tools, which when practiced, help us to embody the larger principles and live them in our daily lives. So because embodying the principles of compassionate communication creates a paradigm shift or a new frame of reference, one that is potentially more expansive and leads to greater expression of love and connection and options, it's a revolutionary approach. It's a revolutionary and evolutionary approach to life. It's revolutionary because it's something very different from what you were used to. It's something very different from our habit patterns, from the cultural imprinting. Evolutionary because it creates change and transformation. And I'm bringing this up right now because compassionate communication focuses your attention on how you're changing. And it gives you tools to make your change more conscious. And that is evolutionary, and it leads to transformation. And it leads to transformation of you as an individual, and because of that, it leads to transformation of humanity as a whole, because you are an intrinsic part of humanity. You know, I know that for many of us, change can be a really scary thing, right? Depending on how big it is. But change can be positive and beneficial, even if it's a big change. You've heard others say things like, well, that's just the way I am, or that's just the way he is or she is, as if we're all fixed objects. And we speak about the changes that occur to us as if we were stones being tumbled in a stone smoothing machine or a washing machine, the washing machine of life. Stones getting changed by external circumstances. And it often seems like that's really what happens in our lives. So we say things like, well, I've just changed. Or change happens is a bumper sticker that you see. And this shows this belief that we think that change is occurring as a result of external circumstances that we have nothing to do with or that we're not really in charge of. We all change. Right, and it seems like we change externally because whether we intend to or not, certain things do change, like time changes our bodies for us, whether we wanted to or not. Traumatic circumstances change our psychology for us, whether we want them to or not. Education changes our perspective, whether we wanted to or not. Right. And I could go on and on, like our moods change. Our minds change, how we feel in our bodies from moment to moment changes. Right? So because of this, we think that change is happening to us. And we don't put our attention on how we can be either in relationship to these changes that we're going through as we move through the river of life, or we don't realize that we actually have the capacity to be in charge of our changes, to be conscious about the change process. Because we're not really fixed objects. And we do have a big part to play in our own change process. Yeah, we do have a basic personality, and that seems more or less the same over time, but it's not really fixed. It actually changes slowly in response to life's journey. And we are actually in charge of how it changes if we want to be. And compassionate communication helps us to be in charge of how we're changing, to craft ourselves, to become the sculptors, the artists of our own presence on this earth. capacity, this conscious capacity to change, it's actually important for survival and thriving. And it's an important process to ponder for yourself. So you might think about, what is your relationship to change? What is your relationship to the changes that you're going through? And what are your ideas about how you can contribute to the quality of the changes that you go through in life? What is your thinking about how you can be in charge of your own change process? Okay, we're at the end of today's talk. So first, I want to thank you before I close for being here with me. And I do hope that you continue to tune into these blog talks, Living Life in Love. They air every Thursday. And on Friday, you can find the recording posted on the podcast page of my website, which is www.womeninfullbloom.com. Or you can find them here on the blog talk archives of my shows. Women in Full Bloom Live. And I want to tell you a little bit about what I'm going to talk about next week. And that is judgment and its deadly effect on your creativity, your love, and your full empowerment. And I'm going to talk about how you can transform judgment into love and creativity. And I'm also going to begin our deeper dive into the specific nuts and bolts of compassionate communication. And I'm going to show you more specifically how they work and how you can use them to make positive changes in your inner world and in the relationships that you have with all the people in your life. Because remember, relationships are everywhere. They're in your personal life, your work life, your family life, even in the marketplace. And each relationship that you have is an important part of the quality of your life. And even though each one is different and the levels of closeness and openness might be different, the basic dynamics are the same. And there is one thing that is for sure the same in every relationship that you have, and that is that you are in it. People are everywhere, and every interaction is a chance to grow love and compassion inside yourself and in the world at large. So here's to bringing more love into the world. Many blessings, and bye for now.